Anyway. So, here's what's interesting. This was the rub between Jesus and the church leadership. This is what was the biggest problem they had with him. Because the disciples wouldn't wash their hands before they ate. Because the disciples were busy taking care of the need. And when they got hungry, they just wanted to eat something. You know what I'm saying? I used to work at a cattle barn when I lived in Waxahachie going to school. And it was 8 o'clock until all the cows were sold. And that was till 7 in the morning. My job was to, as they run the cattle, as they auctioned them, was to run the cattle as he ran the meat. I was a little skinny guy then. Run the cattle, and I had to turn them so that then the rest of the guys would get him in the right gate. So I would yell the gate number, 17! And here would come the, you know, and then there was a guy that was at the top where the turn was. So he would yell, and then if there was like a big Bramer coming, he would warn me. So he yelled one time, Bramer! And so I jump up on the thing, and here comes this little... and I'm like, I hate you. But after we would finish, we would be starving. And again, I was a little guy. And we had a Jack in the Box, and I would get two Jumbo Jacks and just pound them down because I was starving hungry. I didn't wash my hands, and I'd been touching cattle all day. Why? Because I was hungry. You know, so it didn't matter. But to the church, you need to wash your, to your mama, you should wash your hands, son. But that's what they got. They were hung up with that. They were hung up with Jesus and the disciples hanging around sinners because they viewed themselves as not being a sinner. Though they were the sinner of sinners, Jesus called them out a while ago. You heard him say, you don't even know God. So they were winners doing church and didn't have time for the losers. So you have to step over the loser to get to go to do the winner thing. And Jesus' mission, watch this, Jesus' mission was to outline his new grace vision for man. Grace, not just the grace that he gives us, but the grace that we're to give others. That means what? Undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. Mercy is different than grace. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So, yeah, we walk in mercy, not giving somebody what they deserve. But grace is a whole more difficult thing because I'm to give something out of undeserved favor. So when people complain, because what happens is we get these people that come in and we're serving them food, right? And inevitably, I'll have a volunteer that will say, well, you know what? They just need to quit smoking and doing drugs and they could feed their kid. You know what I tell them? That kid's still hungry, whether they're smoking, drinking, or acting a fool. It's not up to me to determine who gets it. I give it and give it to God. Amen. And yes, we've had times where we've given a turkey and you go drive down 28th Street. By the time you get to Sylvania, they're on the street corner trying to sell the turkey. I'm serious. I almost bought one day. Instead, you know, you just give them $5 and let them go get their 40-ouncer, right? We just, listen, this whole concept of church has got to stop. We are called to serve people. If we really want to be like Jesus, then we are going to be like Jesus. It's a difficult thing because what's going to happen, again, he is going to bring people in your life that drive you crazy, that do not deserve a penny. I was here one night, Shelly was here, somebody else was back there. If you're in here, you'll remember this. It's about 10 o'clock at night, and I normally step in my office. I just had gone back there, and it was Shelly and Glenn and some others. And this dude knocks on the door. And I open the door. Can I help you, sir? And I knew. See, that's the problem. I knew this was an appointment. It's not one of these. I mean, I was aggravated because it was an interruption. But I knew when I opened the door. So I'm like, what do you need, man? Man, I know it's late. Duh! And I didn't say that. I'm just hungry. Stay right there. So I go. We have these boxes of food. We have some of our staff prepare what we call the homeless bags. And when the reason we call them the homeless bags isn't to throw them under the bus. It's because they're pop tops. They don't have to have any utensils to eat it. They can pop the top. They can rip it open. You get what I'm saying? So that's why we call it that. It's not throw them under the bus. You know, it's like, okay, well, no, he's not homeless, so give him the non-homeless bag. And it's not that. So I grab and I take it to him. And it's got great stuff. Potato chips and jerky and all this stuff. And the dude looks at me and he goes, I can't eat this. He's got like three teeth in his head. And I thank you, Jude. I'm just glad I am where I'm at now. Because immediately, well, you so ungrateful. I'm like, I looked down and said, man, dude, you're right. And I apologize. And then I asked him, are you just been off of meth? Because that's normally what happens with meth heads. And I'm really good. I go back to the kitchen. I grab a loaf of bread and I grab some lunch meat and I grab a bottle of mustard. And I go out there and I say, how about this? Yes, thank you so much. Are you thirsty? Yes. Let me get you some water. So I got him a gallon of water. He's on his way, and it's kind of normal to me anymore. I walk back in, and everybody looks at me like, wow, okay. that's what you do at 10 o'clock at night. The point is, it was the need. Oh, my call was to talk with my staff and to pump them up about how awesome they are. But then the need always interrupts the call. If you would recognize that it's not an interruption but an appointment, your life would be better, but you just be careful because you might get more appointments. And the reason I say that is, I think if the Holy Spirit taps on my shoulder and taps on John's shoulder, and John stops and I don't, and the next time there's something happening, he knows who to tap shoulder on instead of me, just you, because he knows you'll get it done. You see what I'm saying? So, so these guys, the temple assistant, the priest, were winners doing church, and they didn't have time for the losers. Jesus' mission is to outline, that's why I said this, his new grace mission for visit. He wants to show the difference of these two faiths, because there is two faiths. There's one that's occupied with the law, and there's one that is moved with compassion and grace. The one that is preoccupied with ceremony, custom, and ritual is the other one is concerned with relationships, matters of the heart, and the spirit. And in this new faith, worship is demonstrated by the way that we love others, not by the way that we do or do not perform. And listen, man, when we are into the performance mode, when we're into having to figure out how we're going to get to God and we've got to straighten our life up, you're wasting precious time of the people who desperately need you. But you don't get it. I'm not good enough. It's not about you. How many times do I have to say that? It's not about you being good enough. It's about the need. They're hungry. You don't say, oh, well, you know what? I was hungry one time. Here, let me pray for you. Oh, shundarabokai, be healed, be warmed and filled. And you walk off, the dude's still hungry. Cough up some food. Don't give them money. They say they're hungry, take them to the food. I still do that with Squig. The other day I saw Squig. I went to Bundung Ba, which is where I eat pho soup. And sure enough, what's so funny is Squig's been around so long. He's sitting outside with the owner, and she's a cigarette smoker, so she comes out to smoke. Well, he's sitting outside there, just talking to her, and I'm 25 feet away. Hey, Steve! I walk up, and blah, 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 and we're talking a little bit, and I'm fixing to go in. He says, give me some money. I said, Squig, I ain't giving you no money. You know that. He was trying to be show-offy in front of this owner. I said, I got to go in here and give her some money. And he looked at me, you'd give me money if I need it. I said, yeah, I will take you to get you something. You know how I am. Anyway, love Squig. And y'all don't know Squig. It's okay. He's the leader of the pack out there, by the way. He's the boss. He really is. I've seen him kick people off the street. You go to Fort Worth, he'll tell them. I'm serious. And again, he's got some scruples, believe it or not. So, okay, let me get right here. I'm almost done, I promise. Kind of rabbit trail today, but it's okay. My wife's burning her eyes in my head. So which of these, Jesus said, well, let me back up and say that one thing again. This new faith, this worship that we are now walking in Jesus, is demonstrated by the way that we love others, not by the way that we do or do not perform. Again, if we're constantly in performance mode, we will never help anybody else if we don't think that we line up to Jesus and who he is. Understand why I tell you, focus on him and not you. Life is much easier. So which of these, Jesus said, was his neighbor? And the guy said, well, the one that showed mercy, he responded. He could have said the Samaritan, but he didn't. Just the one who showed mercy. So why did Jesus use the Samaritan as a point? He was making a point to his disciples because his disciples the day before wanted to burn them up. You get it. His disciples wanted to burn these guys up. This religious doctorate guy wanted to prove Jesus wrong and wanted to justify his own actions by saying, well, who's my neighbor? And you know what? Jesus pointed out, I firmly believe Jesus pointing out of who's my neighbor wasn't pointing to the dude that was beat up on the road. Your neighbor he was pointing to the Samaritan guy. That's your neighbor. Wow. So, love your neighbor as yourself does not produce what it demands. Let me say that again. Love your neighbor as yourself does not produce what it demands. You cannot just all of a sudden say, you cannot modify your behavior to just start loving your neighbor. It's not going to happen. We can't do that. There has to be a transformation. Jesus said, I will transform you by the renewing of your mind. He will transform our minds so that our minds are transformed so much it gets down into our feet. So, first, so love your neighbor as yourself does not produce what it demands. 1 John tells us what it does. We love him because he first loved us. Watch. No one has ever fallen in love by demanding, love me. I think you're pretty. I think I want you love me. That just never happened. It will never happen. With a dog, it will happen. I get that because dogs are cool. Dogs just wag. They're just cool. But it won't happen. So watch this. We fall in love when someone says to us, I love you. I'll never forget when Gay and I were dating and we were having a conversation right before I was going in inside, and I was a third floor counselor, so I had to give a devotion that night at our college. I was supposed to give a devotion, and it was a Thursday night because that's when the devotions were. And we had been dating, and in the midst of our conversation, she said to me, I love you. Now, she didn't say to me, I love you in that Cupid way. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I love you. It wasn't a romantic thing. She had just said she loved me, like, as a person. Well, I immediately, sorry, but I did, just started cussing. I didn't curse, I cussed. I told you last week what the difference but that is. That rattled the son of me. Anyway, I just cussed and left and went straight up to do my devotion. So I get up. This is a true story. So I get up to do my devotion. I'm miserable. Number one, I'm miserable because the truth is I loved her romantically and would never tell her that because I'm a guy. You don't admit that. And she had just told me she loved me, not like a brother, but just, you know, I love like you the way you are and all this kind of stuff. She saw something in me nobody else did, which was cool. And so I'm up there. So I'm disappointed in me. I'm groveling in me. And I'm angry at me. So I take my anger out on the guys that are in my floor. So I'm like, you know what? I was supposed to give this devotion tonight, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the way you guys are like this school. You hate this school. If you don't like this school, you need to pack your stuff. I didn't say stuff. And you need to, and this is a Christian college, and you need to get out of here and go somewhere else. And yet, I mean, I was ranting. And in the midst of ranting, I'm crying because I'm so angry at me because I just cussed out the one I loved because she said she loved me. And the most incredible thing happened that night. Guys started breaking and weeping and bawling before the Lord. I was so mad. Probably the greatest message I ever preached because it wasn't a message I was preaching. At four, I don't know if any of y'all know who Gary Chapman is, but Gary Chapman used to be married to Amy Grant. Anyway, he was one on my floor. And at 4 o'clock in the morning, I get up to go to the bathroom, and he is still in the area, we had a little hall area, and he's still in the midst of it. There was a significant thing that God did in his life all in that. The point is, we don't demand love. It's never going to work. But, buddy, when somebody says, I love you, holy smoke, that melts you. Now, in her case, later on, she said she loved me in the other way, and there was no cussing. There was a whole lot of kissing. She's like, oh, stop. Okay, really, you know, we are pastors, so we've never kissed. And we adopted our 3 children. Okay, Kay's like, would you just move on? When she was pregnant with Charity, Charity was our first. I wanted to go to the mall, and she wouldn't go to the mall because they will know what we did. That's it. I'm not lying, right? Okay, all right. She said she's going to leave me. Wow, that's really not what she... Well, she said, I'm going to leave. And that's how we need to portray that. Anyway, so again, we fall in love when someone tells us, I love you. And here God is, here Jesus is, says that you didn't pick me, I picked you. And God so for abundantly loved the world that he gave his son to do all this thing for us. And this crazy love that he proclaims, and it's because of the love that he has for us, not any kind of love we can give him. And here he is speaking that over us all the time. You just can't help but get that. So here's what's so cool. God does not need our good works, but our neighbors do. Do you hear what I'm saying? I get real tired of people saying, because I preach what they call grace, which is simply preaching Jesus, I just get real tired with them telling me that you're saying there's nothing to do. Oh, there's plenty to do. There's good works that need to be done. It's got nothing to do with whether you're doing good or bad concerning to the law, but it has all to do with you're doing good or bad concerning other people in life. If you grump head, then it ain't going to cut it, baby. And if you don't got to be grump head, do you hear me? You listen. And people are like, well, that's easy for you because you missed your personality. Stop! I can be mean. Just ask Leslie. Leslie's our secretary. And I'm not really mean. So, the good works are for the purpose of serving our neighbor in creation, not God in our salvation. I want to say it again. Good works are for the purpose of serving our neighbor in creation, not God in our salvation. Why in the world do you think the Apostle Paul took the time to give you Galatians chapter 5 and talk about all the horrible things that we do and then turn around and say, but the Holy Spirit will grow these fruits in us of love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and self-control and all these wonderful things that he will do. He will do. You can't do. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where the people who accuse me of saying you don't got to do nothing don't get it, because they aren't doing what God's called them to do. Do you hear me? You can preach till you're blue in the face about how horrible people are and all the sin and junk that's in their life, and you can walk out and feel like you're all that in a bag of chips. Meantime, they're walking out feeling defeated and down. I'm telling you today, Jesus loves everybody. And incorporated in that, we've got to get so much of his love in us that that leaks out to everybody else, including the people I do not like. Do you have a political persuasion, Steve? You know what? There's things that I believe in, and not, that's not the point. Hear me. That is not the point. That's why when you see me post on Facebook, I'll post happy things. I post the Word a lot. Why? Because the Word. I want people to read the Word, because most people don't read the Word. You know, people say, oh, it's got to be the Word. Listen, read the Word, but you got to understand the Word. That's why I use the Word all the time. I want you to grasp the Word and get the Word and understand the Word. But you need to know the Word is powerful and the Word is awesome, and the Word is not negative, it is positive. God positively loves you. God positively wants the best for you. God would have started all over and killed us all if that weren't the case. Holy smoke, man, he's awesome. Holy smoke. See, that even fits. All right, here's the last scripture just to prove the whole sermon's point. Paul writing to the Romans. So, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point. I love this. This is the point. This is the point I've tried to make today. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. What does that mean? The power of the law. The word says in Hebrews, it's his, take that back, it's Corinthians 15:56, I believe. The law gives sin its power. Because if you're constantly thinking about what you're doing wrong, you're going to keep doing wrong. You died to that when you died with Christ. Now watch. And now you're united with the one who was raised from the dead. And as a result of what? Him being raised from the dead, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. Not a harvest of good deeds for God. Okay, I'm not doing that no more, and I'm not doing that no more, and I quit doing that, and I stopped. No. What does God want? What did he say even in the Old Testament? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. You will never love God like that until you believe he loves you like that. It won't happen. And it's crazy love. And then love your neighbors yourself. We just taught the whole thing. We can produce a harvest of these good deeds for God. Good deeds, what do you mean? Your neighbor. And when we're controlled by our old nature, sinful desires will work within us, and the law arouses these evil desires that produce a harvest of sinful deeds resulting in death. And here's what happens. We stay there. We become, I'm a horrible person. So we're not looking out to try to help anybody else because we're so concerned about how our ugliness is. Stop, stop, stop. Jesus did all that for you. Watch this. Let's finish and I'll be done. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. What do you mean living in the Spirit? The Spirit of God, if you've asked Christ in your life, dwells in you. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. So he's saying, but the new way of living in the Spirit. When you live in the Spirit, then what does that mean? That means those fruits of the Spirit will grow in your life. What does that mean? That means you will start having love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And that word long-suffering in the original language means patience, yes, but it means patience with people, not with your circumstance or not with you. It means patience with other people. You will have patience with other people. That is a fruit of the Spirit. You will never do that on your own. You can never get there on your own. You cannot modify your behavior to get there on your own. The only way you're going to walk in that kind of peace is when you got that love and joy and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. And that word self-control is the word temperance, because I hate the word self in there, because it's not about self. The Holy Spirit gives us temperance. He gives us temperance in all things if we allow that part of Him to grow in us too. I did a whole sermon on that because He was walking me through that. That's how a real part of the reason how I lost my weight was because of that very thing. Holy Spirit, I'm going to focus on You and the temperance that You offer me in this and let this grow in me rather than focusing on the scale and seeing that I gained a pound, I lost a pound, I gained a pound. Man, last year I lost 100 pounds because I gained 100 pounds because I was lose 10, gained 10, lose 10, gained 10. I did it 10 times. So I lost 100 pounds, but I gained 100 pounds. I'm dead even, I was. Dead even. You know, and yes, it's about eating healthy. And all. Yes, 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 but the truth is, if you'll deal, let the Holy Spirit tell Him. That's what I verbalize. Holy Spirit, I'm tired of being fat, and out of my fatness, just my health is just horrible. My legs hurt, everything aches, and you know, I want to blame everybody else, And everybody keeps giving me box of Twinkies, and I rebuke them, but I eat them anyway. And I prayed and cursed the calories, and it didn't work. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, I was struggling, man. And I'm like, Holy Spirit, you said that's a fruit of the Spirit. That's kind of weird, because the love, joy, peace thing kind of works, but this temperance thing, anyway. And then I noticed. Here's when I knew I was letting the Holy Spirit do it, John. I was two months into it, and I'd lost some weight. I hadn't got on the scale, but I'd lost some weight, I think. And I was, it was actually Leslie was in the office. She goes, "Man, you've lost some weight." And I said, "Probably." And when I said probably, I knew I was getting it. Because back in last year, I would have said, "Oh yeah, I've lost 9.3 pounds in 3.5 days, and I'm on the scale every morning and every night to make sure. And if you get on the scale in the morning, you're going to weigh less than if you get on the scale at night. So just weigh in the morning." Instead, it was a natural process. I've told you that story. I was out with eating a bunch of cops, and they were laughing at the end because I'm two fork guy. You know, I'm eating and talking, and. They were laughing. I'm like, "What are you laughing at? You haven't finished your meal." And they were all done. Well, in the process of me asking the Holy Spirit to help me, He slowed me down. I did not consciously do this, John. He just slowed me down. And how dare me give credit to God for my weight loss? Because I worked hard. No. Did I already finish the whole thing? I did. All right. I guess I'm done then. Just be the good Samaritan. Better yet, love the good Samaritan. Not just the guy that's hurting, that's been beat up, but love that Samaritan. I know. I told them Wednesday night about this part. Remember Wednesday night? Those of you here Wednesday night? I say when she's really mad at me, I always grab her and hug her because she can't be mad at me anymore. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm letting it all chill. Okay, good.